So count up the coins, to dazzle the brain, and salt to pay the loins. Get ready to laugh, get ready to drive. Strap on your seatbelt for 9:35. We're the drivers, you're the passengers. It's Clark and Sharp with John Hassinger. Sore from work, you better ice it. Get ready, kiddies, it's time to slice it.
Ooh.
We have a great show, so count all the coins to dazzle the brain and saute the loins. Get ready to laugh, get ready to jive. Buckle up, bitch, it's Nerd 35. We'll take the car out of park, and you're the passenger. With Clark the Shark and John Hassinger. Too hot in the city, you better ice it. Buckle up, kiddies, it's time to slice it.
Two people doing this podcast invented it.
Tweet us at the podcast, okay? Underscore podcast. I'll support
Come a new guy.
Last.
You know, like I saw the button on my YouTube app where you press the plus button to upload video. And there's an option that says, go live together.
Yeah. I thought the same thing. And then I Googled it and they're like, it has to be on the desktop. So I tried that and it was like the YouTube control room. And I was like, this is too much going on. This is like way too much going on.
You're lost. Control room. We don't do well in control rooms.
Hold on to your butts.
No, we're normally not allowed in them.
There's no control. And I was just like, okay.
Control in the room.
We're going to do this. Hey, it's great to see you, brother. I can't believe this.
You too, man.
I love you, man. Do you know what tomorrow is?
Love you too. It is the 8-year anniversary. Oh no, we're past the 8-year anniversary.
Oh, for the podcast, well, yeah. For you and I doing the show, that's actually a more important.
You know, it's an 8 with an asterisk though, because technically, you know, it's been like over 30 years.
Right. Yeah, it's 8 exactly. 8 with an asterisk. And I think we did like a few. Yeah, I think it was. I think it was May 31st. But yeah, so happy 8 year. But I was just
not really a big deal.
It just hit me though. Tomorrow is the 30th anniversary of Jurassic Park hitting the theaters. I was like, 30, it was 30 years ago. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I said to the wife, she's like, is it in the theaters? I was like, it has to be somewhere. Like, we gotta find it. So
yeah, it's gotta be in theaters. They did it with Return of the Jedi. I mean, that was 40, but this is 30.
Yeah.
it's really funny how amazing that movie is, but also how kind of bad it is.
You didn't say the magic word.
I listened to this person. There's this guy that I hate him, but I listen to him. You know those people where you're like, I just want to see how much I hate you still, and you give them 30 seconds, and he was
Fox News,
and he was exactly it.
Sure, I can't stop watching it. I am itching, but I'm gonna watch you anyway.
It's on all day in my office in the break room. And it's like, dude, when I walk in there in my head, I can predict what I'm going to see. I'm like, they're going to be mad about Biden and that veto.
How are you, pal?
DeSantis is getting something out of schools.
Right. Another book gone. what were we talking about?
Who do you hate? You hate somebody that you like watch.
He's a movie guy, like a movie reviewer, and he's just like a regular dude.
Oh, okay.
His name is Ronan. I think he's like a struggling comedian, but he's not. He's like, he's from somewhere else. Yeah, right. With a name like Ronan Hirschberg. So he's like Jewish, but he's like a different kind of Jewish.
Yeah, he's already not playing by the rules. Like, I'm gonna go out here and just piss you off,
Ronan. So anyway, he does it with this other guy, and they're like, and he's like, Jurassic Park, a little overrated.
We have a T-Rex.
And the other guy's like, what are you talking about? It's like one of the most timeless, rewatchable movies of all time. It like changed so many things. And it's just got that beautiful Spielberg bow on it. And the guy goes, that's the problem, the bow. The bow is just so weak. It's a weak script. The kids, I hate the kids.
Grandpa!
Kids!
He starts like going through all these points where I'm like, Shit. Yeah, we were kind of blinded by like the just achievement that it was. That when you break it down on a film level, it's like,
A
little unrealistic.
See, that I always thought that way. That's actually a good assessment. If you take out all the pieces, if you take out like two of the pieces of the pie, it's not that good. Like the kids are obnoxious. Like I like Joseph Mazzello a lot. I think he's turned into like this great actor. But as a kid and Lex, like there's just a lot of like butt grabbing and nerd talk, and you're like,
who named it? We got it.
Okay. And then without the John Williams score, like, yeah, there's a lot of plot holes, you know?
But it's like, I was talking to Heather about this the other day. I'm like, but that's every single movie. You know why?
Right.
When people get angry at movies, it's because they're like, oh, well, that didn't make sense. But life
finds a way.
Doesn't make sense. And movies, we really try for it to actually all make sense when that's kind of ridiculous. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're trying to let everything be buttoned up at the end. In a lot of cases, you're like, you have that water cooler talk where the next day you're like, actually, why would that happen? You know, like that doesn't make sense. Why would he do that?
It's like the pitch meeting. It's like every movie is full of like probably incredible like convenience, like super easy, barely an inconvenience. You know, like when the good guys get out of the impossible situation every time.
Yeah,
it's like, But then it would just be, and let me hear your thoughts on this. The idea of making a movie where like the ending has just a whole bunch of like unresolved issues, or is that like just so impossible to pull off before it's just like, you're just starting stories and not stopping them. Then a 5-year-old can do that.
Right. I think it depends on like, there's some movies that you think they just ran out of money and it ended and you're like, oh, I guess that's all they can do. Like, it's kind of a poor example, but like Children of the Corn, all the stuff happened. Oh, really? That movie itself is ridiculous because like the kids kill the town and they like take over, but like nobody ever finds out. Like they still have to pay taxes and there's still like deliveries that go to the town. Like they don't just forget about a town because people are dead. But at the end of the movie, all this like shit happens and then it stops and the credits roll and you're like, what happened? It's like, it's literally the worst ending ever. Like it looks like it just stops.
I heard a lot of foreign movies that are like intentionally not made for the U.S. audience. Yeah. I heard they end that way. We are like, all right, here's
oh, really?
This is starting up, and then it just ends. And you're like, even like fluent Spanish speakers are like, I knew every word they said, and then the movie
machete
ended,
and then it's gone.
It's like their idea of like an end in a show is just different.
Yeah, and we don't expect that. We're used to such like a typical story arc that when it goes against the grain, you're kind of looking around like, yeah, I get it. I get it too. Does anyone else get it? Because like it throws you for a loop.
That's why I love it when a movie, like a superhero movie, doesn't end in different colored beams shooting at each other. I like it when like Doctor Strange. Remember, I made you go watch that movie like 2 years
ago.
Yes,
you did.
We were like, we're gonna do watch alongs.
Yes.
How he wins at the end by like tricking the bad guy.
You think you see through me?
He doesn't fight him. He doesn't punch him. He tricks him. That's why it's like, oh, like Endgame was genius. Like Iron Man tricked Thanos and got all the stones out.
Yeah.
Instead of just punching.
Right. They didn't give you like what you might predict to happen. And when I watched the Doctor Strange on your recommendation, when I went down that hole, it was so cool because I felt, first of all, I thought that movie could have been, I wanted it to be longer, but I know you can't make a 4-hour movie, but I feel like that first part could have been like an extra half an hour of like just seeing him as the regular doctor and like being an ass and cocky and all that, like a Bruce Wayne kind of feeling.
They wanted you to be like, oh, he's an asshole. But the whole time you're like, but it's his movie. So I know he's going to be good soon. Like maybe make him be a dick for a little longer. So it like really hits home when he has to like fucking, you know, just hand it over.
Yeah. It would have like redeemed him on like a different level, I think.
Right.
Do you feel the same way though? It should have been, they could have done it a little longer in the beginning, like more of a reverse Bruce Wayne kind of guy where he's kind of more of a dick.
I thought the same thing. It was like, oh, I know what they were doing, and I bet you somebody made them like snip parts out to like just get to be Doctor Strange. You know what I mean? Like, just be the superhero, because that was not considered a flop, but it was like a way big underperformer.
Yeah.
Because everyone was like, who the fuck is, like, I didn't know Doctor Strange. Like, I had heard of him, but I was like, that's the laziest comic book name I've ever heard. Doctor Strange? So I was like, come, that can't be real.
Exactly.
Isn't that why, I don't know if I've read this or heard this, but isn't that why the Black Panther marketing, they like doubled down because they didn't want it to be another Doctor Strange thing? Or is that, am I thinking of something completely different? Matt Clark and I have all the facts.
Black Panther? Black Panther 2?
The first one, like when they released that, was that because they were worried about it underperforming because it wasn't a new movie?
It was not just a new movie, but like a new mini like franchise, you know?
Right.
Like it's supposed to have all this other spin-off shit going on that just hasn't happened yet. But like, at the beginning, Chadwick Boseman was supposed to, like, when Downey and Evans stepped down, be like the head of the company.
Vengeance has consumed you.
And he died.
Oh, yeah.
So like everything, like Wakanda, or like even Avengers Infinity War was in, like half of it's in Wakanda. So like Wakanda was like a major piece that they were like, hey, everybody.
Yeah. What's going on?
And it was just such a, you know, I mean, it won an Oscar, or it was nominated.
Oh, it's huge. So good. So well done, too. I felt like they used the right amount of restraint. You know what I mean? Okay. Like, there were so many things they could have really thrown at you, and it was like the right amount. The right amount. Wonder Woman had the right amount.
Right. They could have overthrown the white men are bad, or overdone the white men and white men are bad. But again, as great as Black Panther is, it ends in a Black Panther fighting the evil Black Panther.
Right. Yeah. It's like, you guys could have done something different, but we're going to do this.
He stabs him first, but he does kind of use Shuri's vibranium train thing to kind of, so it is clever, but yet again, I just feel like the writer and director had an ending, and then the studio is like, just do this. This is everybody will figure this out.
Yeah, the mouth breather is like, nope.
Oh my gosh.
Nope, we're doing this. But I'm the writer. I spent 2 years of my life doing this. It's not how we're doing it.
We got merchandise, so. We should not insult the audience. Well, that's what you're doing by dumbing it down the ending.
Oh my gosh.
They're all very stupid, though.
Audiences, too, especially like the Marvel and also like the DC audiences, they know more than obviously they know a lot more than the studios. But I feel like the writers, they're under, you can see in a lot of the films, or at least some of them, I should say, they have to do that. They have to bow to what the studio's doing with like release dates and script changes. And I mean, it brings us to The Flash that comes out next week. I don't know what you know about this, but they were saying that Ezra Miller hasn't been giving interviews because they're afraid he will reveal like a secret ending.
I'm so sorry.
I think it's, I don't, no,
that's so funny. What a great fake lie,
right?
Because anyone who doesn't,
health stuff, he's just not doing interviews.
anyone who doesn't know, dude, if you, I think we've talked about this before, but like if you line up 10 people, maybe 5 of them have heard of Ezra Miller. And again, I know he identifies as they, them, but I'm just going to say he, because we're talking about him playing a male character, and he actually plays 2 versions of a male character named Barry Allen.
Right.
So I'm just going to say he, him. I understand.
Of course.
Blah, blah, blah. I'm not that good at that stuff yet.
No, me too. So that's just
I do trailer reactions that last 3 minutes. I don't talk a lot, so I'm not used to it yet.
I don't even know my name. Somebody asked me the other day what my pronouns are, and I was like, King Man, and they're like, is that funny? I'm like, I don't know. It's whatever you want me to be. But full disclosure.
I made a joke on Terry Fitzgibbons made a comment, or he put happy birthday on my Facebook page, and he said something like, you know, from playing, you know, wiffle ball to altar servers, you know, it's great to still know you or whatever. And I wrote back, altar theys. There's something there, you know what I mean? Like altar boys.
Right. Yeah.
And they got, then it was like girls could do it. So they just called them altar servers.
Right.
Ezra Miller, 5 out of 10.
I'm a waitress. No, I'm a server now. You know, you have to like switch it up. Altar theys.
And you know what's really weird? And don't worry, we're going to get back to this Ezra Flash thing.
But yeah.
Why is the term stewardess an insult
No idea.
Like, what does it even mean? Like, stewardess. Like, a steward and then a stewardess.
Right.
So, yeah. A steward. What is a steward?
No, I've always wondered that. People...
You know all that stuff, all that medieval times lingo.
Yeah, people still... Some people, like, usually older crowds will still say stewardess and stuff. And then they're like, oh, I shouldn't say that. I'm like, why is that offensive? You know?
It's the N-word of the airline.
It is. It's the N-word of the airline.
the S-word.
Like, you can't say it. It's like steward, stewardess.
Excuse me. Could you go find my S-word and tell her I need another beer?
Sir, we're going to have to ask you to deplane right now. We're already in the air. I can't do it. The steward and the stewardess is interesting because it's kind of like when you talk about something that used to be man and now it's like a woman, or, you know, it's like not busboy, it's like table jockey or whatever it is now. Like, they just, I don't know, that all went away too before the pronoun, you know, between they, them, and everything like that. I'd like be curious to know when that all happened, like when that all, how that all took shape.
You know how, like,
it's interesting.
Back in the day, like the 50s and 60s and 70s, all the like homophobic people, what is love? 70% of them turned out to be homos themselves.
Of course.
I feel like all the people that are like
right in the left,
forcing this binary, non-binary stuff on us,
yeah,
aren't even, you know, like they're not, no. Like they don't, they're not even, what is it called? Trans. You know, like,
right.
They probably hate trans people and they're just making it up. And somehow someone catches it like, oh, that's a, okay. So, and then it's just like a tidal wave of everyone being like, ah, I don't want to piss anybody off.
I don't want to touch it. I just don't, just keep going.
So what are we saying them? What are we calling them now?
Whatever it is, I'm moving along.
Just by their name? Okay.
Yeah, it's fine. It's because it's like the news, you know, they always see like Twitter lost their mind and Twitter reactions. But Twitter, the people that are the angriest on Twitter, it's like 1% of the population on Twitter that are making the noise. It's not like 80% of the common, you know, dissent of what people feel about that. They're just like the loudest. So I feel like, yeah, you're right. A lot of people just kind of follow the trend. Like, oh, I don't want to, you know, I'll do what I want. And they're kind of like the angriest mob.
One of the, right. You're exactly right. It goes back to the boys. When she tells Homelander, you don't need 5 million fans who love you. You need 5,000 who are fucking angry for you.
Yeah, that's it.
You don't need 50 million people to love you. You need 5 million people fucking pissed.
It makes sense. It's just like, yeah, that those are the 5,000 that are screaming their heads off.
There's this podcast called Take Your Shoes Off, which, again, I'm fucking so mad that I don't have a podcast called Take Your Shoes Off.
I know. That's so cool.
Comedian Rick Glassman. He is the weirdest. I mean, he is so uniquely funny. He's kind of like Theo Vaughn, where it's like there's nobody like him. He's so different. Is he autistic? Probably on some spectral level close to it.
Okay.
And he had Chris D'Elia on, who, you know, I guess like a year ago showed back up after a whole bunch of girls kind of made claims that on the surface seemed bad, but then you were like, but they were all lying to him and he was just kind of a creep.
Yeah. But not breaking any laws. Instagram DMs too. I mean, he wasn't, I'm not defending anything he did, but it was people that slid into his DMs on Instagram. I mean, what are you looking for?
He's a famous comedian and they don't know who he is and they're giving him attention because he's famous. So what would you expect? And then when you get in there, he's a little weird. Well, you know, that's your own risk. That's a silly thing that girls do. They correlate the personality to like what we're going to be like in bed.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Never, ever.
Watch out, Armie Hammer. Yeah. It just doesn't make sense. It's like people, it's like the Leonardo DiCaprio thing. You know, they're not getting Jack Dawson from Titanic. They're getting the 47-year-old
Star Wars nerd
that's partying in Saint-Tropez with 18-year-olds and is untouched from Scandal his entire career. It's like that's what works for him. You know what I mean? You're not getting Jack Dawson from Titanic or whatever.
Pierce Brosnan. He has like aged really well. I don't see Leo aging like like getting it together, marrying someone his age, like getting into shape.
No, I mean, when you see him, like just last week there was an article. It was Leo parties in France. Thank God for that. And the whole article was like, thank God we still have this guy. He's going to look like Jack Nicholson. He's going that route. He's got the same hairline as Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicholson's just 85, like, and that's going to be Leonardo DiCaprio, that rich movie star that just doesn't give a fuck. And yeah, you see him like partying with 18-year-olds, and you're like, good for him, man. I know.
I'm so like,
jealous.
It's one of those things where that movie that's coming out with him as Scorsese, it's like 5 hours or something. I don't care. I'm like, make it 7 hours.
Flowers of the Dead Moon or something? By the way,
of the Penis Moon.
But the Penis Moon, I watched that trailer on the Jonathan Hassinger show, everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah. What is that about? The Native American? Well, I'll let you finish. I don't want to interrupt you, but.
By the way, I've stumbled on that title every single new intro that I've done. You know, like at the beginning, I say the same thing every time. Yeah. I've had to go, fuck, and then start it over.
Hey, how do you do it? I've watched the trailer like 4 times now, and I haven't. Something of the Dead Moon, Flowers. It's the 1910, 1920-ish, like Oregon Native American murders thing. But
Killers of the Sailor Moon.
Killers of the Sailor Moon. Killers of
The Flower Moon?
Killers of the Flower Moon.
Is that what it is?
I don't know, but I know that De Niro's in it, and he looks like he did in The Irishman. He's just owning that old Killers of the Flower Moon. De Niro's in it, and he's looking like he just walked off the set of The Irishman, another Scorsese movie, and sat back down in the chair because he's got the same like thing. It's like he doesn't need to do anything anymore.
He's the greatest. I don't know how. Somehow, Michael Caine is like the only actor who I've noticed age is affecting his performance. When he was in Tenet, I was like,
is he slipping?
They make it look like he's eating in the movie because like his mouth is like you can't really talk like it's real bad. So it looks like
sad.
I know.
I mean, he was in Jaws the Revenge. He played Hoagie.
Oh, right.
Retired now. He was a bad man.
He lived, didn't he?
He lived. I think he lived. Yeah, I think Hoagie left. His name was Hoagie, which is amazing. That Michael Caine was in a Jaws movie called Hoagie. That's still like the best character ever.
Oh, that's right. Michael Caine doesn't do a movie if he dies.
Oh, that's true, right?
Somebody made fun of them. So Pacino and De Niro, they both recently had kids.
Yeah, how does that work? Both of them in like a month.
Whoa!
What? Oh, that's, Bobby!
It's like, here's my impression of Al Pacino conceiving that kid. Whoa!
Wow!
And then here's De Niro. That's him
good.
Coming.
It's
that's
good.
De Niro coming.
It's Okay. It's good. I need a towel.
But anyway,
a little bit.
D'Elia's talking about how life is now, and because Glassman is just like this. He's amazing at getting to this really touchy subject that I've never heard anybody talk to him about yet.
This is on Take Your Shoes Off.
Yeah.
Okay.
And somehow Glassman gets him talking about like how has it been since, you know, the cancellation, which is such a stupid canceled. The term cancel, it's become like woke. It's like you can't cancel a person like a Netflix subscription. We all are aware of that, right? Like just because the internet says they're canceled,
they're not still canceled. Gonna be alive.
Still live.
Right.
And he's like,
that's so dumb.
He goes, real life is great, man. Real life is as good as it's been. And I'm like, oh, finally. I keep forgetting that we're all the same age and we're all like understanding how to like not let this thing kill us.
Right.
You know what I mean? And he finally has learned to just not look at comments, not, you know, just step away from it.
I really admire that too, that he said that, you know, because you hear about celebrities like George Clooney and a ton of people that they're like, I don't do Twitter, I don't go on the internet, or they're like, I just don't read comments. And then once in a while you see like a Pete Davidson that's like, I had to delete my account because the comments were so hateful. It's like that's why you don't read them. Like there's just so much toxicity out there. It's like good
and
for
we
him
forget
for saying that.
We forget though, like forget. Pete Davidson when we were 20, he was 10. So he's like a kid. He's like catching up to this, learning how this thing sucks so bad.
Right. Yeah. He's like, starting to see like, oh, this is why I didn't do this before. It's terrible. But yeah, I admire Chris D'Elia for kind of reminding us like it's not real life. Yeah, too many people look at Twitter and Instagram as if like this is real. I've said this before on like old episodes. To me, social media is like a video game. You pop in when you want
to. You have.
Yeah, you just like you dick around. It's a good way to. That's it. It's not like this is so real and it's, you know.
I remember when you would say that because you said it. You know, you said it a couple times, and I always thought about it, and I was like, I know what he's saying, but a little less than half the country and probably world does not think that way, sadly, especially the young kids. That shit is like it's etched in stone forever. They don't understand the impermanence of it. It's also you know what I mean? Like it's permanent, but it's also just not. The internet forgets shit so quick.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's just,
you know, that doesn't last.
It entwines. And then like so many doctors, I don't have studies, but like I know a lot of people in interviews and things like that, like of the medical profession, have said how bad it is to be on your phone like all day long, especially for kids. That's like, you know, it downplays so many other things that kids need. You know, it kind of erodes that like barrier of like what's safe and what's real, and you know, like it's just so toxic and so bad. I mean, anything's bad if you do it too much, but really, like, to open up the internet into a kid's brain for that, I don't know why we're talking about this, but it's just, like, it's bad, you know?
I know. We're still going to get to this Ezra stuff, but I...
Ezra Matthew Miller.
I still go back to the only thing about the internet is it's just like cable television, video games, all the things that came along that everybody was like, our brains,
rock and roll.
It's like learn stuff from them.
Yeah, right.
Then use then, it for a tool. Then yeah, they're not controlling you. Then they're not watching you. You're watching them.
Yeah. Turn the tables.
5 out of 10 people know Ezra Miller. They don't know who he is. And he apparently destroys it in this movie playing two different people. And when it's just the two of them, it's like apparently just awesome.
Really?
Well, the reviews I've heard, they were like, we wanted more of just him with him or them with them. The great thing that they're this is pretty good. This is James Gunn, I bet. I bet you he came up with this now that he's in charge over there. They're not letting him do press because they're worried he's going to slip out a secret in the end, because he does he's a rambler. The truth is that they don't want someone asking him about all the lawsuits that he is now, I think, exempt from and in rehab. And but like he had the weirdest charges. He had the weirdest charges against them.
Child abandoned, child kidnapping, like
grooming,
grooming, terroristic threats, running a cult. By the way, I wasn't like present for any of that stuff, but I think all that's bullshit. I think he was dealing with some mental health issues that made him not safe to be around by any stretch, but he's not
a cult leader. Clark, you know what I think? I think he most likely didn't do all those things.
No.
But was like not doing the best job at like showing it or proving it, and almost probably like antagonizing the people accusing him, just making the situation worse instead of just like diffusing. Because I think he's like a little nutty.
As a lot of artists are, you know, and when you're young and you've done all that work, because he was doing theater when he was like 10 and, you know, was starting to, he did that, there's something wrong with whatever that movie was that he did when he was like 12 or something. When you're in that world, and
you can just tell him playing the Flash in the other movies. He's so he's just such a believable actor.
Yeah,
he's like one of the best. He's even good in those Fantastic Beasts. He doesn't have any lines, but he's still like
But you believe him and you own him. And to your point about that makes total sense about not wanting them to ask about the lawsuits, because you're not going to interview Ezra Miller and be like, so how are you feeling about The Flash? And not bring up, what do you have to say about the 400,000 articles about you being crazy in the last year? Like, if you were him, you wouldn't do it either. And whoever his publicist or agent is like, you are not talking to anybody. And I'm sure Warner Brothers is like, no interviews. And why would you do it? So, yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I haven't heard the secret ending thing aside from IGN. And I think there was something like Variety, but they were published like 2 days ago. So I'm like, this is just that clickbait because the movie's coming out and they're trying to get their hits up. But
that is so, like, I bet you anything that that's James Gunn. And that's probably like a James Gunn throwaway idea where he's like, just tell him that we don't want him to spoil anything. You know, like everybody's, we'll just say Ezra, you know, we don't want him to spoil anything. We just don't want him out there, because I think there is a chance that he'll be one of the people that will continue to play Flash in the new James Gunn DC, because he's awesome.
He's so young. He could do like 10 more movies, you know?
And he's the best actor. Like,
he is great.
Everybody's like this one person I work with, she's like a big Flash fan, like the TV show.
Oh, yeah.
Which was fine. And she's like, I don't know why they didn't reshoot all the scenes with Ezra Miller, with Grant Gustin. He's a better Flash than Ezra Miller. And I was like,
why even say that out loud?
I was like, first of all, you don't know what you're talking about. He plays two characters, so they'd have to reshoot two characters. Yeah. Grant Gustin is on the CW. Ezra Miller is like a Julian. Like, he's one of the best actors alive.
Yeah,
he's
have you ever seen The Stand?
Maybe. He's a little crazy. Maybe. Yeah. Like, he settled out of court because it's just like, let's get it over with. It's too complicated. And I probably did some things that are going to fuck me, but I didn't do all this crazy shit.
No, not at all. Also, if the cost to shoot that, I mean, he would have to really, really screw up for them to like reshoot $400 million in marketing and everything like that. You just can't do it.
And rumors are that this thing costs like $300 million. Yeah, like most expensive movie ever.
Yeah, it's going to be
because
crazy
of how long they've been shooting it. Like, they've been shooting this movie for like 6 years. Pandemic stuff, Ezra stuff, Michael Keaton stuff, Henry Cavill stuff. Like, it's just been this ongoing thing. Yeah. But I'm happy that the critics whose opinions I usually line up with, people say it's awesome.
Yeah, I've heard good things too. That they're saying it's like this fun ride that opens up, like, tiptoeing a little bit, then kind of jumps into this naturally like exciting roller coaster, and that Ezra really delivers, and Michael Keaton and everything is like people that are new to the. To that are like younger, that this is like one of their first experiences will love it, and it'll be like great for nostalgia and everything. Like, we're so excited to see this, the wife and I, and I'm more curious of your thoughts when you do your out of theater reaction. That's my caliber. That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I always hate doing those, dude. Those out of theater reactions, because while I'm editing it, I'm remembering things that I forgot to say. Yeah. And I'm sometimes I jam it in if it's like super important.
Right.
Other times.
Yeah.
I'm
do you want to reshoot it, or
it's just my out of theater. It's like the first thoughts that come to my head.
Yeah. I try to do that with Super Mario Brothers, and I was drinking during the movie. So I was trying to take notes, and they kept getting sloppier as the movie progressed. It was one of those things where like the wife drove home, and I'm just like, how about the Luigi with the stars? And she's like, you said that twice. And I'm like, I'm not, I can't do anything with this. This is a waste. This is completely gone.
Yeah, I'm usually like baked out of my mind when I get out of the theater, because I usually smoke. You know, I usually have the vape pen in there.
Do you? That's awesome. That's wonderful. The best.
When I went and saw Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, I got the dine-in seats where it's like a two-seater that's like, you know, to yourself.
You're in the like that zone.
So I had it all to myself. Nobody could see me. I was hidden. Yeah. So getting out of the theater, I'm like,
do I want to do this?
I always have to like talk myself into it.
How is Across the Spider-Verse? The trail, I haven't seen it. The trailers look like something out of an 80s pop video versus like new CGI. Like, it looks like something I haven't seen before.
Did you see the first one?
I saw the... No, I haven't seen... The first movie or the first trailer?
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Haven't seen it. Haven't watched it.
Came out in 2018.
Right.
It won an Oscar.
Yeah.
It
made a lot of money.
Like blew my mind. And then I had to watch it like 5 times because I kept being like, is this the same? Like, am I seeing this? Like, I kept thinking I was accidentally watching like one of Hannah's like Spidey and Friends shorts because characters would show up where I was like, oh my God, they're doing this. They're doing this. They can get away with this. Oh my God.
Like, yeah, Doc, like a three for Doc a loop Ock, kind of thing.
Doc Ock is a woman voiced by the great Agatha Harkness. What's her name?
Oh.
Shit. She was in WandaVision. She played the witch. Agatha Harkness. She was in Parks and Rec. She was so funny.
Aubrey Plaza.
No, not Aubrey Plaza. Aubrey Plaza is going to be in...
Catherine Hahn.
Catherine Hahn is the voice of Doc Ock in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh.
But like Kingpin's in it, the Lizard's in it, the Prowler. Like they do so many different Spider-Man villains all in one movie, and then different Spider-Mans and Spider-Gwen in the universe where Gwen Stacy becomes Spider-Man, Spider-Girl.
Oh, yeah.
And then this one is across the Spider-Verse, and they go to like the Spider-Man headquarters where there's every different Spider-Man from every universe.
The HQ.
Like the Bombastic Bagman, where Spider-Man joins the Fantastic Four.
Oh, and that's so cool.
And doesn't have a mask, so puts a bag on his head.
It's a Walgreens exclusive.
This is a rare one.
I love that they sell that. That is so cool.
It was like one comic book story, like literally one book where Spider-Man and the Fantastic Four joined up. And
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I saw it and I was like, I need to get that.
Yeah, how could you not?
I don't even know what it is.
Was it a late night purchase or an early day purchase? Reason I ask is I have different phases. If it's an early morning purchase, I'm like, no, I really need this. If it's late night, I'm like, why did I order a New York Mets ice cube tray? I don't even like them. You know, like I don't, you never know. But I have a weird... system.
You know what it was? It was I was at a Walgreens.
Yeah.
Yeah, Walgreens exclusive. That means Walgreens is the only place that ever gets the toy. And I saw it. I don't know. I'm going to say it was at night, but it didn't matter what time it was. I saw it. It was so weird. I knew it was rare.
If you get it in person, it's a whole different ball game.
But dude, across the Spider-Verse,
like, I need it.
Across the Spider-Verse is an achievement in animation that I've never seen before. It's so,
really? Wow,
dude, it's so like, I guarantee you that, okay, the first 20 minutes, you're like, okay, neat. But then like all of a sudden Gwen, it's like all about her in the first like 10 to 12 minutes. They kind of like give you her, how she becomes Spider-Girl, what happens to Peter Parker in her universe. And then it jumps to Miles and the animation is different. So like in Gwen, it was like pastel paints. In Miles, it was like comic book CGI, like comic book Toy Story.
Oh, that's so cool.
Then, dude, when those two go to another universe, it's a different animation. But Miles and Gwen are still animated in what they were in their universes.
Oh,
there's this
okay,
there's
that
this
makes
character,
sense.
This character, Spider-Punk. Yeah. He's like one of the best characters.
Spider-Punk.
It's like I was like Spider-Punk, oh, how lame. But like his arc in the movie is like, you're like, we need more of him. We need more of him now.
And he plays the guitar.
Hero. He's like the true anarchist. And so then he helps the one run. You know, like at the end, Miles is being chased by all the Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I won't tell you the whole story. It's kind of complicated. But Miles is being chased. All the Spider-Man he's wanted. And this Spider-Punk helps him. Because he's like, screw the organization,
so cool.
Like screw the man. Like he's like, I hate the AM, I hate the PM.
And this is Spider-Punk. This
the
guy
way he's,
with the guitar.
Yes, but that's nothing.
That's
what he
not
looks
an accurate.
Like. He doesn't look like that in the movie, dude. In the movie, he's moving. It's like, so every like 5 frames, Miles moves. He moves once in 5 frames. So like he would talk like this, but he also looked like, dude, he was cut out
like fucks
of
with
a
your
comic
mind a
book
bit.
He looked like he was cut out of a comic book. Like the words and the paper were behind him and it would move with him when he would move.
Oh, that is so cool. See, that's never been done before.
He takes his mask off and he has another mask on. He's like, I'm never going to give you my secret identity. Are you crazy?
See, that's so cool to hear because now I want to see it. I mean, the trailer.
Dude, you would appreciate it.
I couldn't. Yeah, no, I should watch the first one and then dive in. But the trailer, I couldn't really describe it, but it was like what you just said. It's almost like a cutout of a comic book overlaps at like 30 frames per second when the other characters are sped up. I couldn't describe it. That's why I'm like, CGI you've never seen before. Like I couldn't really articulate it, but like it just like blew your mind. It looks so cool.
This like Indian Spider-Man who's from Mumbatan, which is like Mumbai in Manhattan, Mumbatan.
Oh, okay. Clever.
And his name is like, I can't remember, but his webs have like a bangle, like a metal, like, you know, like Arab kind of Indian, like bangle thing on him. He's cool. Hilarious. The guy who plays Dopinder in the Deadpool movies voiced them. So he was, everything he said was funny. He's like, why do you say chai tea? That's like saying TT.
It's true.
ATM machine is like saying ATM machine or ATM machine.
Karan Soni, he voiced the Indian Spider-Man Pavitar Prabhakar in Spider-Man. Yeah. Is Prav. That him?
Prav, yeah. Prav. He's cool looking.
Yeah, he's that so is funny. Cool. I love his love the hair and the Indian garb kind of.
Yeah, like his suit looks Indian. Then there was there was one character who was like, I think he was part of the clone storyline where in the comics they made you think that the Peter Parker we were watching wasn't Peter Parker. It was this clone and that they had locked Peter Parker away for decades. Oh. And then they retconned it, I forget. But the guy, the Spider-Man, all he cared about was like how he looked. So in every scene he was like, I'm going to help him. I'm going to help him. But do I look cool? The bridge.
So they were like, we got to retcon this
I'm
shit.
Jump.
Yeah. So like let's change the storyline. Is that what they did though? Because of that reason, was it like were the fans not happy that he was furious. Like a narcissist? Yeah.
Well, they were like this whole time it was this like Chad Jones or I forget his real name.
Yeah.
But like it wasn't Peter Parker. Like fuck you.
It
like,
was Paul Peterman. It wasn't him, and they switched it up. Was it because of that reason alone though? People were pissed. Like this is not
Peter Parker.
Yeah. This is not Peter Parker.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's like one of the most beloved.
Of course, yeah. From childhood. I mean, the whole Uncle Ben, the whole, the romanticism of, you know, New York and everything he's done.
Brian Michael Bendis. I think he's credited with creating like a lot, like the X-Men and, you know, like he's done a Bendis. Yeah. It's a name that you'll hear just by accident if you bump into comic books. He was just like bored one night and was like, fuck it. I'm going to see how these fans react to not to thinking that Peter Parker has been this Chad Jones the last 30 years and Peter's been locked away. All these
That's
adventures.
That's a bold move.
Peter. I know.
That's a really bold move. That's taken a staple of American history and being like, we're changing it. We don't like it, you know?
The clone
but fuck
saga.
It. Sometimes you got to change the waves. You know?
But then it was like a year long run that like finally got like, you know, it all fixed. That it was Peter. It was.
I was going to ask you how long it took to iron that out kind of thing.
Yeah. The clone saga. Some people love it because it ended with Peter Parker back.
Yeah.
Some people are like, what the fuck are you doing?
And they're not forgiving at all. What side of the fence do you fall on? What's your policy?
I don't care. I just think the best thing about comic books is it's 80 years. It's like, who cares what they've done? It's
yeah. You can
always evolve
it.
The fact that they're still writing it, like go try to find an idea that they haven't come up with or a character that they like every element on the table of elements is represented by like either an X-Men or some villain in Marvel. Like they've taken like uranium and every element on the thing, like Gas Man, Iron Man, you know, there's Plutonium Man.
I think comic books, I'm not talking about the films, I'm just talking about the actual art of the comics, are the last sacred art form in America left because they're you could take a TV show that's great. You could change the writers up and you could destroy it in a season. But the fact that you can, comic books are that old and they're relatively unchanged. Obviously, things have improved and storylines and characters and everything have changed. But the medium art form is relatively been the same for like 100 years. It's still like sacred. It's like baseball. It's just sacred. Like you can't. It's great. Where movies and everything, it just takes one bad actor or writer to sink it. You know what I mean? It's like
just
it's,
think about
it's kind
like
of incredible.
This digital age that like I'm worried about how people think it's just we're just gonna keep this up. Like we're just gonna it's just gonna be digital. Like you know, all the things that we used to hold in our hand are just in the air.
Right.
And we'll always be able to get them.
Yeah. No. Like you need that tangible thing.
But like we're gonna lose energy at one point, like where power's gonna go. Yeah. Like we're gonna have like limited things that we're gonna get juice to.
Right.
You know, like
we're too dependent on the cloud and everything like that for sure.
Yeah.
Too much data out there. That's like throw it in the sky. It's like, what if that crashes? You just lost your wedding photos and like everything else in your life. Everything's in there.
It's like all these things that you can still hold, like a book, like a comic book.
Yeah.
They don't go.
It'll always be there. And they will always be appreciated, you know. You're not going to hold, unless it's like a record, I guess. Cutting Edge Radio. You're not going to really hold like an old DVD or CD as sacred. I mean, it's kind of a trendy thing. It's kind of retro, but like a comic book is an unchanged, tangible thing. That's what I mean. It's like the last sacred kind of
art like
form.
You don't need to plug it in. Like with all those things that you just said, like the DVD and everything, you got to plug those things in to get them to work.
Right.
The comic book, you don't.
And that's why they'll never go away, you know? Not to mention how popular they are, but they're just, it's like a perfect, beautiful art form. Like, it's right there.
And it's just amazing source material. But, you know, it's like Alabama for the NFL. It's like, if you want to make a story in a different medium, you have, like, so much shit to just like pick from and
be inspired
by forever.
That's so true.
You also mentioned that, man, Uncle Rico.
Yes.
Who, I forget the actor's name, but he just had a stint on The White Lotus. Actually, he's still alive. He was on season one and two. One of the only characters in both seasons.
Yeah. White Lotus, he did, and then he did. There was something else he was in. It's John Dreyer is his name. I'm Matt Clark, and I have all the facts. But White Lotus,
and
White
I'm John,
Lotus was
and
like
I'm
his
great.
Biggest stint. He's
filling
done.
Dead air and not talking over my co-host. Sorry.
No. I was just saying, Uncle Rico.
How does the dealio sound to you?
John Grise is his name. White Lotus was like the biggest stint he's done recently. That like kind of rejuvenated his career a little bit, I would say. Maybe.
Dude, he was in Nope. And he was unbelievable.
He was in Nope, yeah. He was in
Nope.
He
was awesome.
Which
like,
I just
destroyed
watched
that
the other day, which was great. Yeah, that was good.
He met Stairs to that role. Like it was short and he
yes,
knocked it out
perfect.
Of the park. He talked funny, the golden hour, you know, like he was I'm gonna die for the picture.
Yeah, that's the name of tonight's episode is Matt Stairs to that role. Anything with Matt Stairs as an adjective, whenever we used to do karaoke trivia back in like Doylestown before I moved to LA, our trivia name was always Stairs Way to Heaven. That was always like the nerds. We were always Stairs Way to Heaven. But he did Matt Stairs that role, man. I think you're gonna see more from him.
Yeah. Now, is he trying his hand at the hardest of all art forms, the stand-up comedy?
No. So I was at this Catholic Charities event last weekend for my mother-in-law. This actually ties us into the first thing of the show I wanted to bring up. Do you get tired when you're bored at something? Because I don't know about you. I don't know if it's an ADHD. And this will lead into the Uncle Rico thing. I don't know if it's an ADHD thing, but whenever I'm about to embark on something that I know I'm going to be bored, I'd like physically get tired where I could like just go to sleep in the middle of the day. And this is nothing against my mother-in-law who I love, but it was this Catholic Charities event, good cause, no problem, where she was being honored for her like charitable work. And I'm just thinking like hot, sweaty room, 4-hour dinner. I just like started getting tired. I wanted to I wanted to go to sleep at like 2 p.m. But I was like, yeah, I have to go. So I'll do it. Does that ever happen to you where you're like, I'm so fucking tired. I can't do this. I can't. I'm too old.
Between the Jews and the girls and the all things that aren't John.
How do you do it? I need to
be so overloaded on Adderall that I sacrifice a work day because I have to not only feign interest.
Right.
But I have to I have to be present and I have to not seem like
you have to be a good dad. How do you do it? I mean, the Adderall. Thank God.
It's the only thing. It happens more and more. That's every day.
It's a great point.
If I'm not overworked, I'm oh shit. I
need stimulated.
Busy as fuck. Like I need to be so busy that I don't even look at the clock. Otherwise, me and the clock are just doing the tango.
You're doing the snake charming dance of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. There's no snake charmer dance in there. But it was, I never thought about that. Like, how do you put that together? So we had to do this Catholic Charities event, and I was like, I'll do it, but this is it's pulling teeth. When we get there, it was a nice event, nice area and everything. And the MC host was Uncle Rico. He was the guy they hired to do the stand-up stuff. So I was like, this should be pretty cool. Uncle Rico, I love Napoleon Dynamite, and he's a great actor. But I don't think it was his night. I think he was just. I don't think he gave a shit. I don't know. It just wasn't good. He was reading off cards, and at one point he didn't have the right ones, and he just started staring. People were kind of looking around, and some assistant came on stage and was like, I have your sheet right here. It's like, I got it. And he kind of lost his cool. And I'm like, people were like, oh, shit.
No, wait. So how many people are here?
Okay. So it's under 1,000. So I'd say there's maybe 500 people there.
Okay.
It's a good size room. It's
it's
like the St. Jude cafeteria. If you had the tables in the middle as well. But it's a wedding reception times two kind of thing. It was a nice setting, you know?
Okay. So, and how long is he supposed to do?
He did the whole night. I mean, he didn't perform the whole night, but he opened up with a 20-minute monologue to warm the crowd up. And then he would host, but he came out and he started going, all right, everybody, I just want to give a shout out to John Hunt is here. And this guy stood up and people were clapping, but nobody knew who he was because he wasn't part of the event. But it was his friend that he just brought. He goes, John and I worked on The Pretender together in 1995. He's a great writer. But the guy that he brought wasn't part of the event, and he was kind of
like he said, like John Heater, and anyone would
that
would have
been amazing. I just hear John. I'm like, either Heater or Hassinger. That's all I want to hear after that. But this guy stands up and he's like, I guess I'm standing up now. You know, he wasn't part of the ceremony. So the guy stood up awkwardly and then he gets down. He's like, anyway, let's try to get through this quickly. You know, the Academy Awards, not like I've ever been there, kind of self-deprecating. And you're like, that's kind of funny. But then after that, it just went downhill. And he was reading from, he's on a podium. So it was okay. I guess he had notes. And for whatever reason, the notes were gone. So, John, I just want to say his name so I don't mess it up. John Grise. He would just, it was like a good, in stand-up, silence is the most awkward thing.
He's just staring and just going, tick, 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 tick. Get this over with.
And for a
second. Does he have things that he has to say, or is it his bits are written on cue cards?
This part was his bit. Because the rest of the night he did fine, because he would introduce okay, next we have the award for humanitarian, whatever, and it was fine. But he was supposed to warm up the crowd, talk for 20 minutes and,
get everything
going.
He was supposed to do a stand-up routine and get everybody laughing and clapping and, and then, all right, now let's bring out our next naked guy.
It was before when Conan was on or Bill Maher, how they come out and they do the monologue for 10 minutes. But he did that for 20, which maybe was the problem. Maybe he should have just did 10 and move on with it. But he started off okay.
Is he
and
a comedian?
The notes. I don't think he is. I don't think he is.
He just thought he could just do 20 minutes.
He was obviously just there for the paycheck. I don't know what they paid him, but you know, he definitely phoned it in because
I wonder who he knows or who knows him or who knows that guy that he brought.
It could have been like one of those things where somebody got him on like, what's that app? The
Cameo.
Cameo. It could have been something like that. Cause it was like, I mean, you and I would have like knocked that thing out of the park. And he was looking at the notes and this poor girl's like, I have it right here, you know, off stage. And he's like, I got him. And he's like, he didn't like scream, but he was sweating at this point. He was red and it was so awkward.
Like, I got him.
And it's a Catholic charity. So it's like, there's like priests and nuns in the room and everything. And I was drinking scotch. I was hammered, not hammered, but I wasn't driving home that night at this point. So I'm just like, what is going on here? I thought it was hilarious. But you kind of felt bad for him. But I'm like, dude, it's a Catholic like event. You're a celebrity. You could really like not use a script and just kind of like wing it. I don't know. I expected more, I think I should say.
Oh, my God.
Just talk about Napoleon Dynamite at the point. Be like, hey, when I was on set and I put Uncle Rico in the football, I would like to hear that. I would like to hear an Uncle Rico story or an impression or something, you know? But it was just like...
Yeah, right. It's like, dude, unless you have real material that a comedian wrote for you, then just do Uncle Rico.
That's it. That's your claim to fame. Like, do that.
Your grandma
and then he started talking about White Lotus, and he's like, White Lotus, you might have seen me from that. That's been doing pretty good. And then I'm like, oh, so bad. I said to one lady afterwards, I said, he wasn't that great, was he? And she's like, he sucked. It was like a church lady I know from the church that's like very religious and out there. She's like, that was terrible. And I'm like, it was terrible, right?
He had like 10 seconds on an episode.
I felt bad for him, but I...
Do you know... Okay, this... Because I have like... Because I stumbled upon Joe List and Mark Norman. I fell down this like LA, New York comedy, I guess, Austin.
Yeah, you turned me on to those guys too. Fucking great YouTube channel, by the way.
Comedy rabbit hole. Well, they're doing our show.
It's a complete plagiarist thing.
I swear to God, they either started a couple months after us or a couple months before us.
Yeah.
Like we've been doing it for the same amount of time.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 No, I went down that rabbit hole when you said that. And I love the show, but I'm like, we could be doing this. We have been doing this. This has been our show.
But
they got that Jerry Seinfeld plug though. Sorry.
I know. Stumbled into the King and the Sting or the Fighter and the Kid. And then the King and the Sting. Fighter and the Kid was Brian Callen, who's been around forever.
Yeah.
Probably recognize him. He's like an actor, actually, but I think he's a comedian, too. I don't think he's that great of a comedian. And Brendan Schaub.
Brendan Schaub.
Be careful searching his name on YouTube.
I haven't. Brendan
Schaub.
There are
so many people who fucking hate that guy. And
is this the guy with the background on all the shows that has the...
pardon?
He has like neon stuff going on, or am I thinking of somebody different?
No, he's like a former MMA fighter.
Oh. He got in trouble, right?
No.
All right.
Dude, I'm thinking of
something different.
Sucks so
is he bad?
Bad. You're confused. Really? So, okay.
Well, MMA fighter got hit in the head too many times.
It all happened like naturally. I was like, oh, I've heard that name. It looks like just by looking at him, I don't think his style of comedy is for me, but I'm glad he's got his fan base. But I'm like, I wonder, you know, and that's all I thought. And then by digging into Norman and Joe List, it gets you to Sam Morril, Andrew Santino, Bobby Lee, Theo Vaughn and that crew, and then you find
trying to throw your lifeline. I don't know
what comedian.
I'm not smart.
About?
I'm not a smart guy. Stupid.
Hold on. Oh, Schaub. Brendan Schaub, because Theo did The King and the Sting. So the Fighter and the Kid broke up, and they became the King and the Sting, because Theo Vaughn's nickname is like the Rat King and the Sting, because Brendan Schaub was a fan. So that's how I finally started seeing this guy on like a regular basis. And now Schaub, D'Elia, and Eric Griffin have the golden hour.
The golden hour.
Because Theo left, because everyone leaves Brendan.
Was it because of a riff?
Dude, he is just, he does not belong. You know what I mean?
He's that bad.
You know who he is? He's the picture of who you sent me tonight. You sent me a picture of someone.
That's the first thing that came to my mind was when you said who he is. I'm not going to say his name, but that, yeah, the Hulls must.
But he's not even really that guy, because he thinks he's funny. So he was like in MMA. He was in MMA, and he just kept getting like knocked out towards the end of his career. And he would go on Rogan, because Rogan, MMA.
Yeah.
And Rogan and Callan had him on, and they were like, yo, we think you're funny, man. Like, you have a personality. You should probably retire from MMA. And Schaub's like, okay. And he does. And they start a podcast, and they put so much money, dude, into pushing it all over YouTube. Like, I remember
really like the ago, ads,
it would just, their shows would always pop up in my feed, and I was like never clicking on them, and they just kept popping up.
They're dumping a lot of money in ads.
And then I heard Rogan mention that Brendan Schaub has his own whiskey.
Oh, come on. Who does he think he is? Conor McGregor?
Or everyone? Look up his look up the name of his whiskey.
I'm just okay, Brendan Schaub whiskey.
Yeah.
He looks like a tool, by the way.
Because Rogan was like, I like the way it tastes, but the name of it is so stupid.
Oh, Tiger Thick Blended Whiskey. What the fuck? I love the branding. It looks like something you photoshopped.
That whiskey,
I don't mean
is
you, the, I mean it looks like somebody made a joke.
It's the Yeezy equivalent to whiskey.
Look at that. Look at the wow, Tiger Thick Whiskey.
Thick.
$100 a bottle, so more than Jameson, really. That's what we're going to spend on this?
And
really. That's so bad.
His stand-up special is called, like, Thick Boy. It's so lame, that thick gimmick.
He's
two C's or three C's. Like, it's just so cheesy.
Oh, there's three C's. Oh, for sure. They're going all the way with that.
It's like
so bad.
The three C's reminds me of like the double Z at like the end of Dogs.
Yeah.
D A W G Z Z.
Right. The extra Z's. You know, was he one of those guys that he was on Rogan and Rogan, you know, said you're funny, and then he's like, well, that's it. That's my life. And he goes back to that all the time. Like, well, Rogan put me here, and that's what like created this whole mess kind of thing.
It was like he became a person that could just go anywhere and be like, hey, I'm Brendan Schaub. You know, you've seen me on Rogan. I'm the fighter and the kid.
Yeah.
And he would buy views on his YouTube. And he did a stand-up special, dude, like an hour. And, like, didn't do, like, just thought he wrote a stand-up special and went and did it and, like, bombed.
That bad.
Like, horrible. Dude, I've watched...
like, no laughs at all.
Like, I've, by accident, watched...
did you?
A couple seconds of it, because it just, like, came up on whatever. And I was like, they're not even jokes. He's just, like, talking. He's like, he's like, my wife makes cookies, but she's Mexican. So I said, are they chocolate chip cookies with salsa on them?
Oh, that's like, so bad. Oh, so he doesn't even, he's not like a natural comic at all.
I was like, yo, that's not like the worst idea. You just had to, you put no effort into delivering it. Like, you're just like, salsa, you know, like there's a joke in there somewhere.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Like, if you did it right.
Yeah. Right. You would have to say a whole bunch more.
Yeah. You just have to craft. Is he one of the, did he think kind of like, would he be funny if you were drinking and he had a few drinks? Kind of funny, or was it like just bad?
So then that's the thing. Chris D'Elia, like I said, he joined that golden hour. So, and I like Eric Griffin. He's just like a normal guy. He's like a nice guy.
Yeah.
He's like an older comic, but he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
And so I watch them every Friday. I think they come. I think it's maybe either Friday at midnight or Thursday at midnight. He has no place. He should not be in this, as people, here's another word, space. They shouldn't be in this space.
Not a safe space.
People love to say, I feel really good in this space. In this space. It's a good healthy space for me.
I was outside with the cat the other day, like I'm in a healthy space. Grass, and somebody walked by, like, I don't want to get in your space. I'm like, you can just go. I'm not. This isn't my space. Please go away. Please walk away. I don't want to hear space.
You made it worse. Rush by me in silence. Don't talk.
Was Brendan Schaub, do you think Chris D'Elia did the show with him and Eric Griffin? Because does it look good on paper? Like, MMA fighter stories or anything? Or was it just for like the name to get hits kind of thing?
Well, no, when he was going through his, his cancellations, D'Elia,
cancellations.
Theo Griffin and Schaub, stuck by him. And he's talked about it on that. I think when it was called The King, The Sting and The Wing, it was Theo, Schaub and Chris. And he said, he's like, I probably wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for you guys.
So it was kind of a, yeah.
So I think they're like, friends, but there's so many times where Schaub will cut D'Elia off when he's almost getting to like a punchline, like in a kind of like a miniature bit within the thing, you know what he always does. And when he gets cut off now, dude, he screams back, oops, I wasn't finished. You just cut off my joke. Oops.
Ooh, he's calling him out. How much views are they getting? Are they doing like,
I want to be able to be that quick.
Yeah.
If someone interrupts me to go, oops, no, I wasn't finished.
I wish I had the balls for that. I get cut off sometimes. I just, I'm just like, okay, let's find a right appropriate point to insert myself back in. By that time, it's usually gone. I'm like, okay. All right, Clark's still talking. I'm like, okay. I gotta watch these videos later.
With kids,
I can't.
With kids, all you do is get interrupted, nonstop interruptions.
That's it, really.
Like they're not listening to. They're listening to like the first word, and if it's of no interest, they're just like tuned out. And then, Daddy, can I?
You just keep changing.
It's unbelievable.
Is it? Are you able to adapt to that? Because you and I are men of the ADHD realm, so we're like, I can go and dance with you kind of thing.
I can do it. But in my head, I'm like, I'm not writing a bit, but I'm like, I'm almost like, must remember the world is not about me anymore. But it is. I'll take care of you for now. But I still can't like think like from their point of view, which is, I think, what I'm supposed to be doing. Like when I go north for like Christmas or the shore, yeah, I just fucking hate it. It takes me like a month to recover, but it's not about me. The kids love it.
So you got to do it. Yeah.
It's good for them.
That probably helps too, to think like, I'm doing it for them. Let's do it for the greater good kind of thing. Because if it were just you and Heather, probably would be like, we don't need to do this bullshit. But if the kids want to see grandma and everything, like, it makes sense.
And like, yeah, and it's just easier to go without the kids. I mean, it's just the traveling with kids is just,
I couldn't imagine.
I mean, traveling is terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible to begin with.
Yeah.
It's fine alone. It still sucks.
I think so alone though. I don't know why, but I'm traveling alone in a few weeks. I'm going to the shore. Jen can't go. She's got stuff. North Wildwood. Are you going to be down there this summer?
No, dude, I can't fly unless it's like necessary. Like I'm going to be one of those guys now. Like I heard someone say that.
No, I'm there.
Like, when was the last time you flew back to Louisiana? He's like, 7 years. I don't fly. Yeah. It just kills me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it kills me too. Like I'm not a bitch. It kills me. And I'm just not doing it anymore. I'm going to be a guy that's like, no, I don't fly.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, I'm right there with you. I'm so glad you said that.
I'm not doing it.
I can't do it.
It kills me, man.
I'm going to
die early.
before I was like 30 or whatever, flying, no problem. Whatever. We'll go to Mexico or Vegas. I don't care. Let's just get in the plane. It's no big deal. For whatever reason, though, I cannot sit still in an airplane for 5 hours and know I can't leave. I'm here. I can't do it. The traveling, the wait times, the pressure, it's like the worst experience. Like, I never want to fly again. That's why I only go back to Pennsylvania once every like 3 years. And people are like, when are you coming back? I was like, oh, I'm not. Come here. Like, it's just, I hate flying. I would love to be teleported to you and see you. I hate traveling.
I can't do it because there's so many other things that I need to do that this trip is going to like just make doing that really suck and hurt and painful. Yeah. Like my back is just crushed for like a month really? after a trip. Yeah.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. It's the worst. And it sullies the whole trip because you're just like, how is it? I'm like, I don't know. I'm not good. I've been traveling on a plane all day and you know, you're sitting there and I don't know, man. I think COVID too, I've become more paranoid. I'm like, how safe are we on this plane kind of thing? You know what I mean? It's just like, I don't want to catch COVID because of like a dumb trip. It's not worth the risk to me anymore.
I just look at everybody and I'm like, it doesn't matter. My immune system would fucking crush yours. You suck. I don't care what you have. It's not going to get me anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like Hannah woke up today with pink eye and I was like, Jesus Christ.
Poor thing.
But then it was gone. It was gone by the end of the day. Yeah.
See, it's that has your immune system. It's the German immune system. We have these
That's right.
They kill germs, man. We had COVID. Jen was almost hospitalized. Thank God she's okay. And it was bad. I was fine. I'm like, I'll go for a walk and drinking beer tonight. And it's just, we crush it. But yeah, it's good to have that mindset of like.
Right. We were the only nationality that was brave enough to go to war with the world.
Twice.
Two times.
Two times. It's true.
This time we're going to do it.
I always joke with people. I'm like, yeah, if war ever breaks out again, I'll probably move to Germany. They would never get themselves involved in a war. You know, it's probably fine. It's fine. But anyway, man, I know we've been going late tonight. I know it's late there. Do you want to put this one in the W column?
Let's slice it. It has been great, brother. Wish we could go longer. Yeah, I'm sure I'll think of a million things to tomorrow that we should have talked about. So
I know.
Let's keep our tips touching and
keep the streams crossed and
do this again as soon as we can.
We'll slice up another one. Great show tonight, brother.
That's
Love
a
you,
good
man.
Ending. It's a good
that
ending.
That is a good ending.
Do this again as soon as we can.
Thanks. Let's do it. Cheers.
There was a time when I was so broken-hearted. Love wasn't much of a friend of mine. The tables have turned. Yeah. Calls me and then where's that party? That kind of love was the killing.